You're listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Katie Frankowitz, and I'll soon be joined by my co-host, Skylar Butenshin. It's Monday, July 21st. The iconic Pier 39 in Astoria is for sale. Owner Floyd Holcomb called it a hard decision, but an opportunity to take the building to the next level. He has owned and managed the property for more than 20 years. Pier 39 was previously the site of the Hanthorne Cannery, the first and largest tuna cannery in Astoria, and the oldest on the Columbia River. Today, it is now the home to a number of local and regional businesses, as well as a museum that details the history of the property and the fishing activities that fueled the cannery. There is no official price listed for the property. Portland-based realtor Wes Bachner told The Astorian they will price the property depending on what interested parties want to do with it. He noted that parts of the property are in need of repair, including a warehouse portion on the eastern side, which sustained significant storm damage to the roof. This story comes to us through a news partnership with The Astorian. Online at dailyastorian.com.
Earlier this month, multiple outdoor-minded projects in Pacific County were awarded funds from the Washington State Recreation and Conservation Office. The city of Raymond will receive roughly $400,000 for an initial phase of renovations to modernize the Dr. O.R. Nevitt Memorial Pool. Raymond will also receive over $300,000 to build a new skate park and pump track at the 8th Street Park. Washington State Parks will receive nearly $500,000 for the repair of Bridge 43 on the Willapa Hills State Park Trail, which runs between South Bend and Chehalis. And finally, the Washington Trails Association has been awarded $10,000 to perform trail maintenance at Cape Disappointment State Park. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer, online at chinookobserver.com. According to the latest report from the Oregon Employment Department, the state's seasonally adjusted non-farm payroll employment declined by 4,300 jobs in June. Last month's job losses include 1,200 manufacturing jobs, which have been continuing to decline in the last 3 years. The category of healthcare and social assistance added 900 Oregon jobs in June, and in the past year, that category gained by far the most jobs of the major industries. Oregon's unemployment rate was 4.9% in June, after rising gradually over the past year from 4.1%. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald. Read more online at tillamookheadlightherald.com.
The following story is a bit of a hybrid, part news, part audio postcard. It starts with some bagpipes. On Saturday, KMUN threw a party, a block party. We shut down a street and invited a bunch of other nonprofits to join us. There were activities, food, and live music, including that bagpiper you heard earlier. That was KMUN programmer John Goff, the host of Uncharted Waters every other Tuesday afternoon. He patrolled the street between sets. It seemed like everywhere you turned at the block party, you ran into someone you knew. But looming in the background was the recent decision by Congress to claw back funding for public media. The rescission bill passed on Thursday, rolling back $9 billion in previously allocated funds for public media and foreign aid. CPB, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, lost over $1 billion in funds meant to stretch over the next 2 years. The cuts are expected to hit smaller stations and stations that broadcast in rural areas and to underserved communities especially hard. KMUN station manager Susan Peterson and I stepped away from the party briefly to talk about what the cuts might mean for the station.
Well, what it means for KMUN is 17% of our annual funding is disappearing. We're not going to be getting CPB money anymore. That's the money that Congress voted against giving this year and next year. It means we're not going to be able to afford some of the more expensive programming we have, like NPR.
KMUN has several months before contracts with organizations like NPR end.
So we have that 2 months to really do a lot of work and get some holes filled, because otherwise there's dead air, and that's not good for any radio station.
Peterson said KMUN will be looking at less expensive programming and additional collaborations with other radio stations, among other solutions. She also noted that KMUN does have a contingency fund, and there are no plans to cut staff. The rescission bill and other policies by the Trump administration that impact public and news media were on the minds of many people I spoke to at the KMUN block party, including longtime volunteer and programmer Carol Newman. Newman has been involved with KMUN since before it went on the air. She hosts several shows, including Arts, Live, and Local. On Saturday, she was focusing on the positives.
KMUN has been the, not just the background, but the lifeblood of my life for 42 years. And I don't know what I'd do without it. And so I would like to support it in any way. But the truth is, today, it's party time. I just got a bowl of fabulous vegan Japanese curry. And this is my granddaughter, Lena, who is visiting from Olympia.
We had asked every nonprofit vendor who participated in the block party to bring a free, family-friendly activity, and everyone delivered. I stopped by the table for the Astoria Writers Guild and spoke with Asher, who was typing up poems and writing prompts on an actual typewriter.
Could you write us a poem real quick?
I would love to write you a poem. If you give me a word, I can write you a poem based on the word.
It's like I've never thought of words in my life. Let's say octopus.
Ooh, okay.
A little while later.
I'm gonna read it to you if that's okay.
Please read.
Octopus. Tendrils of home drag along the shoreline of our community. Together, we learn embrace.
That was really sweet.
And that's for you to keep.
I'm going to keep it. Thanks so much,
of
Asher.
Course, thank you.
And that's where we'll end here today. From this community to yours.
Days with high wildfire risk can bring a number of issues for electricity providers. KLCC's Zach Ziegler reports utilities are updating their power lines to mitigate the danger.
High winds, down power lines, and dead vegetation have caused a number of wildfires, from the 2018 fire that burned Paradise, California, to Lahaina, Hawaii, 2 years ago. But as Lane Electric Cooperative General Manager Scott Coe says, utilities are hoping to minimize such fires with the adoption of automated reclosers. Those are devices that shut off electric lines when something causes them to spark.
We have different setting levels, and we have most all of ours on sensitive right now, which means that if anything comes in contact with them, whether it be a tree, a human, a squirrel, they turn off within a fraction of a second.
Multiple utilities tell KLCC that reclosers are becoming more common, especially in wildfire-prone areas. But even with that, preemptive power shutoffs can still happen in situations where fire danger is especially high. I'm Zach Ziegler reporting.
For weather today in the Lower Columbia River region, cloudy through the mid-morning, then gradually clearing with highs in the mid-60s. Mostly cloudy tonight with lows in the mid-50s. Tomorrow, cloudy, then gradually becoming mostly sunny with highs in the high 60s. Mostly cloudy tomorrow night with lows in the mid to low 50s. You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you'll always find today's local and regional news here at KMUN.org. To contact the KMUN News Department, email us at news1@KMUN.org. That's news, the numeral 1, at KMUN.org. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.